It's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing, sipping on coke and rum. I'm like, so what? I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby. I'm about to have me some fun. Is that it? Are we good?
I want more.
Fresh camp. No.
You like the background singers, the trio, everything?
That was great when you guys were coming in. I like that.
That was not practice, by the way.
No, it wasn't. That's what I like. I like doing that. It was great, man.
I remember sitting there, I'm like, what song am I gonna sing? And that was just the first thing that popped into my head. And sure enough, I'm like, Prab is gonna be like, are you sure you wanna sing that song?
We're on
the phone here driving. He's like, sure enough, he's like, that's the song you're singing? I was like,
that's the only one that came to mind.
You want to start this podcast and get canceled right away?
Oh man, it's just like I like that everyone's always kind of caught off guard by the singing.
Yeah,
they just don't get it. We're talking construction. We're gonna get into the like detail of construction and all that crap. But the thing is, like, it just breaks the ice, man. It just puts people at ease, and then their character, their personality comes out, and that's what I like about it. It was never my idea originally. It was someone else's idea.
Yeah.
And I just said, you guys will never get tradespeople to do this, man. Yeah. And here we are after 600 shows, and lots of people have done
it. It's always good to start it off with a laugh.
When I seen that in the mail it came through, I was like, do people actually do this? And then I went through some of the reels, and it was hilarious.
We've had people come in here with instruments, man.
Yeah.
People really get into it, eh?
That's crazy.
Yeah, like recently we had trombone coming in here, and he's thinking about the next one when he's going to come in here, and he was belting out on like three different tracks. He was belting it out and just have some fun with it, right?
So this is just going to turn into a karaoke podcast.
Could be. Guitars have come in. Nice. I'm waiting for some drums to come in. I'm waiting for all kinds of shit. But welcome, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thanks,
thank
man.
Thank you for having us. Good.
Thank you so much, Luke, for reaching out and then connecting and then just jumping on the show really quick. And I know you guys are playing hooky from work, right?
That's right.
How many on the team? Like, how big is Park?
So we've got a total of six guys. So there's myself and Mark. We're the lead field techs. We've got a couple apprentices. Luke's handling.
He's got no gray hair.
It's in the.
Yeah.
You shave it off.
The hats come off. Oh, fuck
you. Oh, Jesus. Put the hats back on.
Man, you're looking good looking young guys, man. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell's going on with the amount of years you guys got, man?
You got to support the merch.
You started young, yeah. So Luke does our marketing and sales, and we've got a operations director as well. He's in the office. So, yeah, total of six, and we're growing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Let me share all the information. So it's like Park Mechanical. You can reach them at www.parkmechanical.com.
Yep.
And then the email to reach them out is info@parkmechanical.com. And on all of our social media, you'll find them under park_mechanical. I'm wearing Mud Mixer's t-shirt today. That's what I'm wearing. I always wear a different person's t-shirt.
Okay. How about a hat? You want a Park Mechanical hat?
Everybody gives me hats, but I'm occasionally wearing maybe a hat, but sometimes I'll wear the TCL hat instead, right? Because I'm not, like, you guys, that's a good hat. I'm not part of the truckers bullshit and leaving in the sticker and all that. I'm not part of that shit. I'm too old for that shit. I got hats at home that are probably older than half the people that have been on this show. You know what I mean? And okay. I like worn out shit. That's just how I like my stuff. I need my stuff aged, right?
We've got lots of old Park Mechanical t-shirts.
Then give it to me. If you got holes and shit, it's got weather, it got snagged.
I could step on this right now and hand it to you if you want.
I've done that back in my high school days. I used to throw rocks in the washer and everything like that and just age shit because I wanted shit aged, man.
The vintage look?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good one.
So now they're paying, what, $1,000 for a pair of jeans that way?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I know.
Well, we could take belt sanders and all kinds of shit and just do it ourselves, right?
Carhartt.
There's another entrepreneur idea for anybody who's listening right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into HVAC. We're going to get into, I would say, big boy HVAC.
Lovely.
Not dismissing the people that do custom or, you know, individual rentals and upgrades and all kind of servicing and things like that. You guys deal with the systems when you walk into rooms that are proper and pretty big, like a lot of stuff going on in those rooms, right? That's where you guys deal with
it. It can be intimidating to the average eye for sure.
And how did you guys get started now?
I started in 2001, how I remember. It's unfortunate occasion, but the Twin Towers went down probably about 2 weeks before I started the trade. So that's how I remember how I started. So I got into it. My brother-in-law owns his own HVAC company. It's residential. So I'm like, I have to work with my hands. Like, that's, I'm built to work with my hands. So as soon as I tried the trade.
How old were you then?
I was 17, 18 years old. Holy I'm 41 God. Now. So yeah. I've been doing it for quite a while. Yeah. So I did residential for about 9 years. And then I had another buddy of mine, Dustin. He got me into the commercial. As soon as I went to commercial, there was no turning back. Yeah.
But when you're 17 and 18 years old, are you looking at the list of trades?
So what I did was, every kid at that age doesn't know what they want.
Nobody does.
I was like, you know what? Let me do business. So I went to college for business. I dropped out within 2 weeks. I'm like, this isn't me. I was doing concrete work. I'm like, I got to go back to my hands. So I had to sit and think what trade pays good and what is almost recession proof. Everybody needs heating. Everybody wants cooling. So I'm like, this is where I want to be. And I also had help because my brother-in-law did it and I saw what he was doing. I saw he was working. So he kind of told me a little bit about it. So he kind of led me into that aspect of the blue collar work trade. So I ended up going down that path. Yeah.
See, it's kind of funny you're bringing up the recession proof stuff because the top three are that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also in all fairness, if you have a solid concrete business, it could be recession too, right? Proof. It could be if you've got a right clientele.
It can.
Because the lag on trying to get projects started is so long that you're nurturing the job along, and then all of a sudden you're booking your schedule at that point.
Yeah, that was more of a summer work thing. It wasn't a long term. Like, that was pretty tough on the body, even at a young age. Yeah. I'm not saying our trade is a slouch, and it's not an easy trade whatsoever, but I couldn't do concrete for that long.
So. I can't do it for, like, sometimes I look at every single trade and I'm like, I can't do that for a lifetime. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for them.
Oh, but construction guys, I have so much respect for.
Yeah, absolutely. And then how'd you get started?
Almost kind of the same thing. So,
because you're roughly about the same age?
We're not far off. Mark's got five, 6 years on me. So, I'm 36. So I got started doing electrical when I was 18. And honestly, my brother was doing it and he was making a lot of money and he was buying cars and clothes and stuff. And I'm like, I want to buy cars and clothes. So I've always worked with my hands, like always. My
plural, dad. Cars and clothes.
Cars and clothes, yeah.
I can understand the plural and the clothes, but the cars?
Oh yeah, multiple cars. My brother had like 3 or 4 cars.
What were they leaning towards? What was he buying?
He had a 96 Cadillac Fleetwood. Cherry red with cherry red rims.
That's a big car.
He had an 86 Buick Regal with hydraulics.
That's still a big car.
He had a Pontiac Grand Am. That was a 96 white.
He's getting a little smaller. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then he had a work truck. So it was like a safari. I used to drive and be like, yeah, okay, I'm taking this car, you take that car. But he'd be like, no, you're not touching my cars. Anyways, yeah, so I just saw him making money, and I've always worked with my hands too, right? So that's how it's always been.
It just
been.
Fit. It just made sense.
So I started electrical, and I couldn't get registered for apprenticeship because in those days the ratios were a lot different. Yeah, it was like
they're two bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were bullshit.
Actually say that on the website. These are bullshit.
These are bullshit.
But these are the rules.
Yeah, exactly. So I started working for my uncle who had his own HVAC company when I was 19. And then he's like, why don't you just do HVAC? And I'm like, yeah, good idea. Let's do it. So I started doing my G3 at that point, and the rest is history.
And then Luke, how'd you get into sales? And
well,
have always been in construction or other kinds of sales?
No, I've always been in and out. So for 2 years, I was working with a general contractor and then another contractor that just did custom decks. So they do all your rough framing and stuff like that. Then I went back to college, then I finished, and then I started working for an agency that did marketing specifically for the trades and specifically for HVAC. But Prab and I have known each other since high school. And I've always been like, hey, how do I get plugged in? But like, I kind of like this office job. So I've always been back and forth until 2 years ago when he's like, come, let's do this together full time. So for a year, I was out in the field with these guys, getting to know exactly what we're doing, what we're selling. And for the last year, I was just exclusively.
You didn't know anything about what they were doing, or you knew a little bit?
I thought I knew a little bit. And then you actually do it. And then you're like, okay, well, this is, you know, and you're lugging tanks up and down and running line sets. And just like, it's given me a lot more confidence now when I'm talking to people, because talking to people in the residential sector is easy. Like, you're just answering basic questions and, you know, but in commercial, like, guys really will grill you on what you know, what you don't know. So very quickly, they'll suss you out. So that year really helped me just terminology. What am I talking about? Who am I talking to?
How you answer those questions
will
tell them a lot about what you know or don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of people like to perform.
Yeah.
They like to pretend, right?
Yeah.
Especially with social media. Like, they've kind of been educated a portion of the answer, but they haven't gotten the whole answer. But then they'll spat that portion, thinking that they know everything. And I'm like, you don't know shit, man.
Fake it till you make it.
I was almost getting Luke, getting used to Luke in the field. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're not a sales guy anymore.
Like, Luke was good in the field. I don't want to take that away from Luke. Luke was good in the field.
My dad put me on tools at a very young age. Like, our whole thing, like, when we were growing up, like, that's how we'd get a bigger house. Like, we'd buy a house, we'd reno the basement and do some stuff, and then we'd move to a little bit of a bigger house. So that's how I first got my hands on the tools.
I had this thought a couple of weeks ago. My hamster wheel is always running, right? And so I find that tradespeople are like literally a hairline away from being criminals. And what I'm talking about, what I'm trying to go with it before everyone starts going, oh, what the fuck? I'm not talking about the whole drug use and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying the tools that we have and the knowledge that we have regarding gases and core drilling and all kinds of tools that are specific for specific needs, you could be bank robbers, so to speak. You know what I mean? You could enter structures and you know everything about structure. You know everything about movement. You know everything. And you guys with HVAC, and I'm not saying anybody who's listening right now that you could start becoming a criminal or some shit like that. I just thought it was an interesting thought that I had where you're literally, if you wanted to cross the line of being a villain, you can because you have this education.
Yeah.
Right? You can't, technically.
We do. We know what stores have jail bars on the roof.
That's what I mean. A lot of our customers
have jail bars.
So all of a sudden, you guys are like, you're being given access to certain areas that nobody is ever being given access to. And you're like going, that's interesting. That's 12 inches of concrete. All right. So there's about 15 MER. And you're doing all this math. And I'm like, if you are a criminal, you got like the pre-apprentice version of a criminal. And I thought it was always funny because it's the top three. It's the HVAC, it's the plumber, it's the electricians. The electricians know how to fucking take down the wiring and take down security. And I'm not implying that everyone should go down that road. I'm just saying that the majority of contractors are good people, tradespeople, and they have a high skill set. But that skill set can be, I guess, headhunted by criminals and going, listen, you know how to...
Sometimes you got to go crooked or go clean, right? So
I just thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, everyone's always got an interesting start to get in there. And I just... Is HVAC the number one going on in there? Like a lot of the young kids are looking at HVAC as this is the world that I want to enter.
Honestly, Manny, I don't even know because it's so hard to find good guys. Like, you got to...
When you say good guys, what do you mean, Mark? Like, are you...
Because I go back to like when I... And I can't target all younger generation, but like what I've seen and what we've gone through, some texts that we've gone through, and it's just tough to find the motivation like it was when I was being brought up. It's a little bit different. Like we got to accept the social media, cell phones, all these things that everybody has nowadays that it wasn't even there when I was there. So it's like we were on Google, like we had the maps, MapQuest, and I'm telling my guy, okay, turn right here in the book, you know what I mean? Now everything is phones. It's so easy. And it's so easy to get distracted. Like it's nice that none of us have our phones here with us, right? So it's so easy to get distracted in the field on a cell phone. It's like, okay, put your phone down. We got to get to work.
But are they using the cell phone as a device, almost like a handicap to get the knowledge?
No.
It's all accessible.
At the apprentice level, like you're not troubleshooting anything. You're just carrying gear back and forth. There's no reason for you to be on your phone trying to figure anything out at the apprentice level. That's what I see.
Yeah.
What about the pride argument? Like that was a cool setup. We built it. It looks great. I'm proud of the fact that I did that. I want to take a photo. I want to do a video. I want to do a selfie.
Have we ever seen a guy using their phone for that?
No.
Well, that's where I'm going is the younger generation is using that primarily for that.
Yeah. We've seen that with a couple of our younger apprentices at the time. So, yeah, they were because they were in school and then they'd be taking pictures and they'd be like, oh, look what we did. So, like, I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay.
At the end of the day,
are they doing it for educational purposes so they could take a picture and go back home and go look at it and go, okay, I understand why he ran it this way. I understand why they did it this way.
No, they're not.
So, I'm assuming they would be doing that.
So we actually with our apprentices, because when we were apprenticing and we apprenticed in the commercial level too, right? So what would happen is if you didn't study and you didn't know your stuff, you're not going to excel. No one's going to sit you down and be like, okay, that was what your schooling was for, right? Yeah. So we would go on the rooftops and like myself personally, like I'd take off panels. We'd be doing maintenance. I'd take off some panels and I would literally just sit there and read the wiring diagrams just to kind of educate myself, right? For my own personal gain to be like, okay, on the next service call, I already read this wiring diagram. Like I know what's going on, right? I don't think the newer generation does that. They're they're more flashy, like, hey, yeah, look what we did. And this,
I agree.
They're not trying to educate themselves. They're just trying to be like, hey, look what we did.
I think you have to have the bumps and bruises. You have to be on and troubleshoot. I think you have to be in that room. You have to understand how this works.
Yeah.
Build the future you dream of with Generation Construction. Your home is where life happens, where your style shines, and where your future begins. Whether it's your first home, a space for growing family, or a place all your own, you need a builder who understands your vision and brings it to life. At Generation Construction, they ensure your home is everything you've imagined. Greg, the visionary behind Generation Construction, knows that today's homeowners, they want more than just walls. They want a space that reflects who they are. At Generation Construction, they don't just build houses, they craft homes that are uniquely yours. With a reputation for excellence, trust, and a commitment to working with the best, Generation Construction offers a seamless, stress-free experience that ensures your home stands strong for years to come. Contact Generation Construction today at 705-961-5562 in the Muskoka area and 647-381-0361 in the Greater Toronto area, or visit them at www.generationconstructionltd.com. For inquiries, email Greg at greg@generationconstructionltd.com. Let's build your dream project together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Yeah.
And I was always scared too. Like, even when I was growing up, I was actually scared. I'd be like, oh, I got a service call tomorrow. I'm going out on my own. It's my first day. I'm doing my own research. Like, okay, what happens if this happens? Like, okay, let me go downstairs and rip apart my furnace and fiddle with stuff. Like, and it's crazy. It's like, okay, now I can't get it working. Now I got to make a phone call, like, on my own house. You know what I mean? So, like, it would be nice to see that mentality in the new school clan that's coming up through the, whoever's listening to this podcast, like, put in the work, because that's what's going to carry you through this trade. That's what's going to make you end up being a business owner, an entrepreneur. Like, if you want it, you got to go for it. And it's hard. Like, maybe I'm a little bit hard on some of the guys that we've had, and I'm hard on. I'll admit it. And I tell the guys that I'm open, because I was brought up hard. And if you're not getting brought up hard, and it's not an attack at the personality, it's just an attack on a work ethic.
Give me an example of brought up hard. Like I don't understand what hard is today to a person.
So
I know what hard is for me when I was going up.
So brought up hard is, it's not even like trade wise, it's like crazy hours. Like, for example, I'm not even on call. Like, my boss would call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, get up, be here right now.
Like, that was then.
That was like back in the day. Like, I'm not even on call. I don't care if you're on call. I need you here.
To me, that's not hard.
You know what I mean? Exactly. And that's not even that hard. Like, that's even hard. Working, missing Christmas parties, like working out, like on walk-in freezers, piping at nighttime, like it, working crazy hours.
How
like,
many people you guys know that in their early 20s had jobs that took them away from standard hours of operating for regular people? Because they're so used to the 9-5 lifestyle, especially if you get into teaching, education, summers off, all kinds of holidays off.
I remember when we were in our 20s, like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're working on days that, like,
yeah. he wouldn't be able to, like, he'd come and he'd hang out and he couldn't have a beer or whatever, cuz he's like, I'm on call today. Like, yeah. I got to go. I remember that specifically.
Yeah.
So, and then he'd be like, okay, my call's done. Like, all right, and then we got beer. Like, I remember that specifically.
Yeah, so
and, like, to answer your question about, like, hard, I don't know, just getting yelled at. I think,
oh man.
Being yelled at was just the standard. Whatever you were doing, it was just more common. And that would, like, instill fear into you so that you don't do it again the next time.
I've been yelled at so many times and I never have my feelings hurt.
Yeah.
I didn't think my feelings are hurt. I need to go speak to somebody right now. It was just, I was yelled at because I did something wrong.
Yeah. That's right. In the workplace.
Yeah. At the moment there, I did something wrong. Yeah. And you won't know until later on the severity of that wrong. Because maybe they yelled at you because there was a risk of serious danger. And so they were trying to get you to remember, don't ever do that. Don't ever place yourself in that situation or place another tradesperson in that situation. Yeah. So you're being yelled out for a purpose. You might think at first it's just a direct attack at you and who you are as an individual. It's not. You got to kind of look into it further.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think it's hard. In my eyes, it's not.
It's not. As long as you have that conversation. Like, I got reamed out so many times, but and then I had a talking to after, like an apology. Hey, don't take it personal. This is just on work. And that's great. As long as there's that transparency between you and your employer or my boss at the time, like, hey, I appreciate that. Because that's what makes you who you are today.
And
you know what I mean?
And we got thrown to the wolves. Like, so we, myself and Mark, like, we've worked together for 10 years previously at two different companies before opening our own business. And when we were at our first company that we worked together, we got thrown to the wolves. Like, Mark would tell you, 2 o'clock in the morning, boss call, you get up, you go. Even me, 5 o'clock in the morning, I was like 2 weeks in, 5 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. You get up, you go. Like, you have no choice. And it's like, hey, here's your job, here's your task. If you don't know how to do it, figure it out. Nowadays, you try to tell somebody that, they're like, oh, no, I got to talk to HR. I got to talk to my mom. I got to go do this. It's like, I don't know. You're doing your job.
Not even that. Their phones are on silent or on do not disturb. Like,
yeah, you can't even get a hold of
them. You're not allowed to have do not disturb on our phones. Who are you thinking?
We could not turn our phones off. Forget about that. Yeah. Like, you don't show up. You get that call at 2 o'clock in the morning, you answer. You better answer that call. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, no, forget about it.
Here's the question, though. If you guys didn't go through all of that, would you be running Park right now?
No.
That's what I'm assuming. You wouldn't be where you are right now if you didn't go and experience what you did.
You got to move around, too. Like, I'm happy that I moved around to certain companies. And it's hard to move around where you get comfortable, but you have to leave a certain company that you like to go to another company to learn something different.
But yeah, and you should.
You have to. Like, young guys who are listening to your podcast, like, move around a bit. I know it's tough, but like it's so true.
But move around for the right reasons.
Exactly.
Don't be moving around because someone's offering you a dollar more.
100%.
Don't do that. If you want to go to another company that's like, let's say you're going from Custom Resi to you guys.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yes. You make a move that's going to accelerate your talents. Yes. Like, hey, if I'm working on residential, I moved to go to commercial industrial from residential. I kind of plateaued. I'm like, I want to be bigger. I want to be better. Moved to another commercial company. They were predominantly industrial. Now I want to learn rooftop equipment. Okay, worked on that. Then I moved to another company to learn the refrigeration aspect where they're more refrigeration, small refrigeration, like the Shoppers Drug Mart, the LCBOs and stuff like that. And then Prab and I went across Northern Ontario doing all the wine coolers for the LCBOs. We traveled all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie doing installs.
Did they give you guys any gifts? Right?
Oh, I mean, it was nice. Like it was a
bottle or something.
That was
the LCBO.
There's some good stories there. I'll tell you.
Yeah, we had some fun.
Yeah, it was good times, and that's what it's all about, right?
And that is what builds.
But you're learning.
Yeah, of course.
Man, right? we had a solid foreman that we learned a lot from. Taught us a lot, and it's just growing pains. You know what I mean? You got to go out of your element. You know what I mean? Did I really want to leave home on a summer when you're young and, you know what I mean, to travel across Northern Ontario working? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the long days, long travels. Like, I just want to be a kid. I just want to go to the clubs and stuff. Like, you got to go outside of your element. You know what I mean?
You have to grind.
Yeah.
So you guys are at where you're at right now. You're going, like, 20 years experience, roughly, both of you guys, right? And you probably see another 20 years, right? I don't know how many more years you got left on the tools before you're just running the business, right?
I could go as long as my body can handle. I love the trade. Honestly, I love it.
But you don't want to eventually grow it to a point where...
I do.
You know, you've 100%. Got more people doing what you're doing right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The plan...
If we let him, he'd just stay on the tools.
Oh, right.
If we let him...
My body's catching up, though. My body's catching up.
You know, like, we get it. We've all got to level up to the next... stage where it's like, okay, you're training people, you're bringing new guys on board, teaching them how to be in the field. Prab's got to level up in his role.
Yeah, I'm ready to get off the tools. Like, I think there's a lot
and handle the business.
Yes, yeah, 100%. So that's more of my role.
So these are conversations that you guys have had.
Oh yeah, of course.
We've totally.
Yeah. Well, we've been in business now 5 years, and the conversation started at day one. Was okay. When we get to a certain point, this is going to be my role and this is going to be your role. So, of course, we've had these conversations. Yeah. But, yeah, I think at this point, like, we are at the five-year mark. We have some pretty lofty goals that we set out for ourselves, and we are bringing on the right team to make that happen. So, with that, it becomes the evolution of us, right? Like, we're no longer on the tools or less on the tools. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say so. I'd love to get off the tools today, but there's still a little itch. For sure, there's a little itch.
Eventually, you can always go by site. My question is... Does the next generation coming up, do they have the same longevity that you guys do? Because I don't see the younger trades looking at things like 20 years, 30 years. I see them looking at it at the max 10 before they get out of that trade or they want to just operate a trade.
Do you know what? The hard thing is, there's a lot of up and comings out there, but the problem is there's not enough of them. Like, there's a lot of good guys, but the thing is, it's such a dying trade that everybody's looking for guys. So there's no avail. Like, when we were starting, there was guys rolling in, like it was a revolving door, like guys in, guys out, guys in. You can't even, companies are just accepting like average just because that's all there is. So if companies have a good guy, they'll do whatever they can to keep that guy. Like, there's journeymans out there that are, they want 5K more. They're like, their companies are offering them huge incentives just to come because there's not many people getting into this trade. So that's the hard part.
I would say, because what I've been seeing is that there's a lot coming in, but they think they have the experience to get to where they're going. But you guys are not even green. You guys are below green, but yet they're being told they're above green. And then they start approaching you guys going, I want an entry level, and this is what I'm expecting, and car, you know, all these perks. And I'm like, you're not at that point yet. So there's a lot of those ones
there. Oh, there's a lot of those ones, yes. Yeah. But like, if we're talking seasoned journeymans, like experienced, like licensed guys, there's none around.
They're rare.
But to your point, like, we've had a ton of that. Like, and we've been interviewing, hiring, like.
They always go after HVAC.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they think, the thing with HVAC is, it's, and not to knock any other trade, HVAC is very complicated. It's complex. Like, whether you're on the service side, the installation side. Like I said,
you have to think.
Exactly. I'm
sorry, but you have to think.
And I think what an issue is nowadays is people get told, like, oh, HVAC's a great trade. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, I want to do HVAC. No trade experience. Have never lifted a tool before in their life. And they're like, I want to do HVAC. And it's like, okay, why? And they just don't have an answer. They're like, oh, I heard you make good money. It's like, okay, yeah, but
if that's the second statement, then I have a concern.
And that's the thing. And you're seeing so many people come in because, like, oh, yeah, these HVAC guys, they make a lot of money. Sure, 2 o'clock in the morning, you want to be on the roof in minus 30, 4 o'clock in the morning, you want to be on a roof in plus 40, come, like, no problem. And you'll make all the money you want.
Yeah.
But know what you're getting yourself into. It's not about the money, it's about the work.
Yeah,
so if you're willing to work, hey, you'll excel.
Yeah.
So, how are you guys navigating that then? You're getting these people coming in. They're not ready to come in yet. Are they becoming baristas? Like, are they going elsewhere? Are they, like, I don't know, are they trying other trades? Where do they go? When maybe they turn like around, you tell them, you give them a wake-up call, and you tell them, you're not ready. You need to go get this. You need to go experience this. And they get turned around now. Where is that generation going?
It's different from unlicensed stuff, because if it's concrete or if it's framing or whatever the case is, you can go and try it out for a few months and then, you know, decide you want to do something else. But most of the guys that we deal with, they've gone to school for 6 months or a year. So they've demonstrated some
commitment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but even still, and that's the weird part for us. We hooked up with this, they're like a trades agency. So they feed us these new hires.
Okay.
And
who's that? Do you want to share?
What's Zabby's company's name?
I believe it's JMI.
JMI.
JMI Recruitment.
We met him at the building expo.
Jim? Yeah.
JMI. No.
Not JIM.
Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy's Recruitment. Yeah.
Okay, all right. In the back of a van. All right.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know where to find them.
People show up and like, yep, like I've got my G2 and like no tools, no gloves, no boots. So
No measuring tapes.
Like you come to site without measuring tapes. And to your point, hey, I got another job because someone's offering me a van. Who is giving you? Who's putting you in a van on the road? Like, you're lying. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah. I would never do that.
The expectations when they walk in the door, it's like, oh, like I'm gonna get an iPad, a phone, a truck, a tool allowance.
Did you guys get that in your early years?
No.
Here's a notepad and a pen.
Yeah.
You need a calculator?
Do you know what? And we're fair. Like, if you can, even if you don't have all your credentials, but you're a stud, We'll give you whatever you want.
You
like
see potential.
If you can handle service calls or I can put you on a construction site and leave you there and don't have to worry about it and be like, here's a truck, here's a phone, here's this, go to Home Depot, go to these suppliers, get what you want. Because we see value in you. If we're gonna invest in someone who wants to invest in themselves. So if you're gonna, as a tech, you're gonna invest in yourself, you're gonna put yourself out there, you're gonna work hard, we're gonna put just as much effort into you as much as you wanna put into yourself. We're gonna see that. So we have no problem. It's not even about the money. It's about customer appreciation, showing up on time, being punctual, getting the work done. Even if you have questions, call. No one's perfect. Like, even me, there's always stuff that's coming out in this trade that's like, I'm like, Prab, do you even know what the heck this is? He's like, no, I gotta read the book. Like, you know what I mean? It's always innovating. You never know. If someone says they know everything, they don't. You know what I mean? There's so much happening in the background in the industry that you're always refreshing. So you gotta have that mentality in the upcomers that are coming that you can see that drive within the first 3 months.
Yeah.
And that's obviously another thing.
You can see it in the first 3 minutes.
The measuring tape.
Some, yes, and then some can fool you, right? Yeah. They fake it till they make, but you can't fake it that long in this trade. Right? You can't fake it that long. So,
and in this trade right now, because there's a shortage of good technicians, their companies are headhunting. Like, they'll be like, hey, signing bonus, come work for us, right? And we obviously understand that. And anybody who comes to work for us, it's they're qualified and they like what they do and they're good workers. Hey, truck, phone, tablet, you name it.
That comes.
100%. Because it's like, but back to your point about the new generation is they want all that, but they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah,
and they think walking out of school is the ticket to that. That's not the ticket to that. Hard work is the ticket to that. So.
When it comes to spray foam and blown in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So it's there if you want it.
How many times do you guys, like occasionally I'll do this where whether I'm either early, late, or I'm traveling and I got some time to kill, you'll find myself at a Home Depot or you'll find myself at a supplier just to walk the aisles. I'm not buying anything and rarely you'll find me at Princess Auto because you can't enter Princess Auto without buying something.
Yeah.
Right. So, and my point, what I'm trying to get is how many of this younger generation is actually taking the initiative to walk into a supplier's place and get familiar with the names of components, you know, and walk through the tool aisle and get an understanding of what different tools are, or even go into individual shops and start asking these questions. So at least you start, because this is not taught, right? It's experienced.
And it's they learn it pretty quick, like what I'll see on site is they'll get roasted. They'll get roasted for, you know, shit gear or crap tools.
What's this Fisher
and
price?
And then they'll start looking around. And then once they start to take an interest.
In a wooden box that opens
up?
They'll come with their Home Depot Husky special or something. And then it's like, and then the next day, they spend $500 at Atlas. It's like, brand new stuff. But
that's a mistake too.
It's just interesting to watch it play out.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know. I think you have to have that bug. That's your interest. You know, some people go to a toy store or whatever. Yeah, like I enjoy going and just checking out, okay, what's the new stuff coming out from Makita?
Well, what I would do is I would actually try to get on a job site, either shadow or just volunteer. I'll work for free or whatever. And just take notes of what that tradesperson is carrying on them.
Yeah.
What their box is, right? Like what's like that's.
And that's the key. Like when you talk about yourself and guys like us is, we would put in those hours for free or just being on site and just, you know, absorbing everything, seeing what's going on, being like, okay, I'm going to work hard to do that, right? Because that's when you really like it, when you're passionate, that's what you do. But yeah, when it's just like, when it's not your passion and you're just there and it's just a job, people don't treat it the same.
That's where I go back to the longevity. I don't see if this whole generation, we can argue all the time, and like, if people love doing this on social media. There's five tradespeople leaving for one that's coming in. You know what I mean? And we're never going to replenish the fucking workforce and yada, yada, yada. I don't care about that shit. My biggest argument is I always say, how long is this new workforce going to stay in the industry? Mm-hmm. That's the question that nobody has an answer for. And I think it's a lot less, even I would say maybe 25% of what the current workforce is in.
Do you know how you can find that answer, believe it or not?
How?
Is the people that are going to stay in this trade are the people that make it through their apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Because the 313A is the hardest Red Seal trade exam to write out of all trades. So if they can make it through a five-year apprenticeship, write their ticket and become a journey person,
they're in it.
Yeah, you're not going nowhere.
So and
they're gonna make a lot of money.
And the thing is, basic refrigeration is the hardest, I think, out of the three levels, basic, intermediate, and advanced. If you can make it through basic, you're pretty much gonna stick it through. So if you can make it through basic refrigeration and absorb and retain that information of all the boring stuff, like all the Charles Law, Dalton's Law, like all that boring definition stuff. If you can make it through that and you still have interest and pique, then you're going to make it in this trade. You care about the trade and you see yourself being hands-on in this trade, you're going to make it. So if I were to put a ratio to it, if you go to like George Brown College and ask them what their dropout rate is, there's your percentage of guys coming in and leaving.
It's got to be high, though.
It's got to be high,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Because not only is that difficult, it's boring as fuck.
Yes, but do you know what?
It's not glamorous, man.
But we all love Charles Law and Boyle's Law.
But intermediate, if you make it past basic, intermediate and advanced is so much fun. Like, I'd go to school in a heartbeat. I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed it.
But as goes back to it, you're passionate about it. So
yeah.
And that doesn't just go for trades. You pick anything. Podcast.
Anything.
Whatever sales, it is. Marketing. Yeah. As long as you're passionate about it, you'll succeed.
You can't get into something that you don't really want to get into just for the heck of it.
Yeah, but the trades has such a disadvantage because it's a dirty job to begin with. It's frowned upon by society.
Yeah.
Right? It's not as cool as being a social media expert or influencer or whatever crap associated with that, or any kind of Bitcoin entrepreneur, whatever dangle carrot that they want to do online to make money. Mm-hmm. They always, like, trades is always at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, but however, trades are essential, right? Like,
I get it. There's so many pluses. Trust me, I'm not advocating for them. I'm saying I don't get it. Even the math associated with school. Mm-hmm. Every tradesperson I know, I've never heard of any tradesperson that's still in student debt.
Yeah, you typically don't have
it. You don't have student debt.
Yeah.
If you're smart about your education process and you find the right team or tradespeople to mentor you and guide you along the way, you're going to pay that off real quick. And like I said, I'm not joking. Like once you get, and you know, I agree with you, once you get past that hump there, you've got the vehicle, you've got the perks, you've got the hours, you got money, and then now you start talking about things that you never thought you would be talking about, where this generation starts considering, I could actually buy a house.
That's right.
It's crazy how fast it comes. Like we had a guy that was apprenticing under my journeyman license, and he was 22 licensed, making six figures.
That's not you know a unicorn.
Mean? No.
That's not like, rare.
He put in the work. He put in the work, and you can be super young making big dollars in this trade. Big dollars in this trade. And what comes with that comes a whole bunch of stuff. Side jobs. Like, we were all doing side jobs. Like, you can get into some serious money.
And you hit the nail on the head because when we finished our schooling, we didn't come out of school with debt. And actually, every time we did a block of schooling as part of our apprenticeship, the government gave us money. So there were incentives for that.
Oh, this government's giving money to everybody.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's not get into this government.
I want to see the size of that Xerox machine.
Yeah. We can talk all day about this government. But anyways, no, the thing is, it's not like, you know, you're going, and nothing against university, college, all those types of things.
Oh, I totally have something against them. It's just, I think they're overpaid and you don't get value out of it. I think it's stupid amounts of debt that you incur, and you're just another fish in a huge pond of other people that are in the exact same boat that you are.
Yeah.
And you're all rubbing elbows with each other going, what the hell am I going to do now with my life?
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess every single one of them thinks that they're going to change the world. Versus a tradesperson actually changes the world.
Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can look at, listen, I'm old enough to look at Toronto's city skyline, and that is dramatically changed, and that's thousands of tradespeople in every single building doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like thousands, if not millions of tradespeople over the decades.
I saw one of the reels on Instagram yesterday, and it was Toronto in 1990.
Yeah.
And there was the CN Tower and there was the Sky Dome.
Yeah. It just opened.
Sky
Dome. I know.
There wasn't a single building.
I know.
And then snap, like 2024, you can't look anywhere without buildings everywhere. So yeah, there you go. Back to it.
Why do you guys like that industrial side of the HVAC instead of the custom side of the HVAC?
When you say custom, do you mean custom homes?
Yeah, custom into residential area. I mean, residential, for lack of a better word, it's cookie cutter. We're getting a little more extreme. And what I do love is HVAC, the industry, is the one industry that I say out of all the industries in construction that highly influences where the bottom tier of construction goes. Mm. So it's like now we're starting to see a lot of the stuff that's going on in high rise and commercial and industrial HVAC, it's filtering into like, listen, 20 years ago, you would never have conversations about, you know, radiant going into and driveway heating, all this shit, right. None of this shit. But now it's becoming the norm, right? And that's all coming from where you guys are doing. And it filters down, but it's still perfected where you guys are. So that's where the line is drawn. And I get it that it's cookie cutter where I'm not dismissing it. You come in, you set up a furnace, you set up a Insta, you set up the tanks, you set up everything. And maybe you filter. You know what I mean? Like you kind of do that. And that's the extent of it. And you repeat it over, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
You guys are, it's bigger fish and bigger problems. And you're dealing with HVAC designers and you got architects and engineers coming in and all this other stuff, right?
Yeah, so that would be my take on it. So if you look at residential, typically, like take HVAC, take any trade. You walk into somebody's house, whether it's a new construction home or whatever it is, more than likely service. You walk into somebody's house and they're like, oh yeah, okay, like I saw this on YouTube. And it's like, they're trying to tell you, you know, maybe just give you pointers off of what they saw on YouTube. And it's like, okay, look, I've got X amount of education. I'm not like
Cliff Notes, eh?
Yeah, I know. And but notes. You know, on the flip side, you go to commercial, and like we're talking about building out, you know, 5,000 square foot freezers, right? So the people who like the conversations we have, they understand. We know what we're talking about. They don't have the knowledge in this field. That's why we're paid. So you know, they listen to our every word and they take it as we give it. As you know, it's got nothing to do with YouTube. It's like, hey, you guys are the experts. You took your time, you did your school, you did your apprenticeships. You know, you guys know what you're talking about. It is the same for the guys who service the residential market. However, people who live in houses have YouTube, so they can tell you, you know, how to change a filter. You know how to change a filter.
That's the biggest difference. Just when you're dealing, it's professional to professional. When you're dealing with a homeowner, and again, some guys are wired for that. Some guys like going into a house and talking to Nana and explaining things and, you know, how this works. And they just like that interpersonal interaction. For us, and again, just because that's just... Now, you did residential for 10 years before going this way. So Mark could really go both ways.
Honestly, like commercial is just so nice. I don't have to take off my boots. I just go get my work done. You know what I mean? You don't have to deal with like certain houses and
I hate booties. Booties are stupid.
Laying down
especially
the
when you I like booty, like booty from the 80s. I like booty, but I don't like booties.
Yeah. And then you walk in and you're a size 13 and they're like, can you put this booty on? I'm like, what? Does it fit? What do you want me to do with this?
And there's always the kitty litter right beside the furnace. It's like, come on, man.
Paint
like,
cans and it's like, combustible, don't put this here.
It's a different environment. It's different. And completely some people different. Love it. And like you were saying, some people love it and some people don't get it. They don't understand it. But I just find that a lot of guys will go into your neck of the woods because it's more challenging.
It's challenging and it is complicated.
Yeah.
Even on the commercial side, like refrigeration, it's very complicated. So it's kind of, it's... When you know what you're doing, it's good. Like you're passionate about what you do, right? So I'd say commercial.
You're kind of left alone in commercial. Like I could be in a building for like 3 days. You know what I mean? Like doing all the rooftop equipment, all the maintenance, all that. Like you're like there. Like you already know where you're going. You're not going from one house to another house to another house to another basement to another basement.
You don't have someone over your shoulder.
You're dealing with like seven customers. It's like, oh my God. Like I just want to go in, sign in, go to the roof and just... knock out an 8-hour day. You know what I mean?
But you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but on your side of the fence, when you guys do all your calculations, mm-hmm. the system pretty much works exactly how it was calculated, right? Or is there still trial and error trying to figure out that it's not working exactly how it was set up to be worked? Because I find in Resi, there's a lot of calculations, but it doesn't always work exactly the same way. And then you have to do adjustments, all kinds of adjustments, right?
That's still in commercial.
Still in commercial? Yeah, when you install a system, there's always a commissioning process that you got to go through the whatever the manufacturer specifications are and make sure that it's working to manufacturer specifications.
It's the runs more, like the lines. Like I find that in you get into custom and like with your side, the runs make more sense. Like the movement of air makes more sense and how it's all going to operate makes more sense versus a house. It's almost like the homeowner, the designer are telling you how to run this.
Yes.
Mm. And I'm like, that's not applicable in commercial. We're telling you how this should be run because you need cold here. You need heat here. You need lines here. This has to be, don't tell me how it's going to look. Yep. I have to tell you how it's going to function.
100%.
And that's the big difference. That's the main difference. With residential, you're dealing with personal preference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With commercial, that's not the case, right? This is how it's been designed. This is how it's going to get laid out. But it also depends on the type of building that we're in. Sometimes, like for example, right now we're working with this grouping of restaurants. And a lot of them are refits. So we're working with old equipment that was put together for a different restaurant design. So nothing is working the way it should be. You don't have enough airflow. It's too hot in there. So we're having to come in and act almost as mechanical consultants and say, hey, here's what your problem is. You're undersized. You're oversized. Your runs aren't long enough.
Isn't it better just to rip it out and start all over?
Yes.
Or is it
they're already built it.
They already built it. Yeah. They already built it, right? It comes down to, okay, like here's what it's going to cost to do it the right way. Okay, well, can we get away with this?
Yeah, but then you end up at that same...
I know, but they don't realize that until the restaurant's been open for a year, and then you've got all the complaints. It's like, well, here's your problem. Because it's a re-and-re, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't have to apply for permits or nothing. Everything's over there. They're just like, yeah, for sure, no problem. You know, we can just use whatever's there.
And what I always said about our trade, the most difficult thing about our trade, too, is stuff is so expensive for... You like a customer purchases something that they don't see.
Consider Expert Plumbing and Drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes. It's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
You like a customer purchases something that they don't see. Like, for example, like...
But you feel.
You feel it. They don't understand. So it's like, even let's go back to residential.
It's still tough.
Crazy heat pump system for like 10 grand, let's just say. Let's just use easy numbers. But it's in a mechanical room. Like, the customer's like, I want to spend 10 grand in my kitchen and see it every day. Like,
I know.
It's like 10 grand. Like, I know. Or like $30,000 for like a crazy rooftop that's on the roof that they'll never see. They don't see the value in it. So that's a challenging part too. When they want to retrofit a store and we're telling them, well, you should upgrade this, this, and this. Well, it's going to cost you like $45,000. And they're like, oh my God, okay, can we just put in like a ductless system and just add some cooling? It's like, oh yeah, you can get away with it like that, right? But it's not exact. Going to your point, man, it's not proper, but it'll
function over design, man. Function over budget. Function's always number one, in my opinion, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You guys, I'm sure you guys are probably learning and reading about it coming down the pipe, right? Next year, our lovely government, I like jabbing at them, The code is changing dramatically next year. So I don't know if you guys have already started to look into, I mean, obviously the government that is currently in power, abuse of power, is trying to do this green initiative bullshit. Mm-hmm. Right? So are you guys seeing that now?
Big time.
Yeah.
We see that. But are you guys shaking your head because you know the science and the math and the function behind the work that you guys do, and it doesn't meet what the suits have told you to do?
Yeah. We actually had that conversation
yesterday.
Yeah. We were putting on... we're just installing a new rooftop unit on a site that we're doing all the construction work for, and every single motor in the unit has to be electronically controlled. It has to ramp from zero all the way to 100%. Everything has to be as energy efficient as possible. So the cost of the equipment is up by minimum 50%, and it's mandated by the government, right? And then when you go to repair something like that, your cost is up over 100% on a repair bill. And the government doesn't care. They're just throwing in mandates saying this has to be this much energy efficient, but you're going to bear the cost. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but the old equipment, there's nothing wrong with it. It worked perfectly fine. And it was half the cost. Yeah, but we don't care. We say this. It's like, okay.
You know those EnerGuide yellow tags that you see on all the appliances and shit?
Yeah.
I think we should put them on every single MP and see what that rating is on every single one of them and see how energy efficient they are. Because they're not.
Get it.
But I totally agree with you. Like, there's no, and plus the equipment of today, I think, is actually failing a lot faster than the equipment of yesterday.
Oh yeah,
you guys are probably servicing equipment that's like been around for a while and it's doing really well. It may not be hitting these targets. Like, it might be, I don't know, 10 points or something like that. Like, it's off on efficiency.
Yeah,
but it doesn't cost to change this to something else that's going to fail in a quarter of the time that this will fail.
Yes,
we've seen 20, 30-year-old air conditioners, the green machines or the Bulldogs.
I know.
They pump, and they still run.
I only changed mine because my dog was peeing on it, and then I learned the whole thing about urine.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So then you should have elevated this, Manny, and then we had to swap it out because he was like, it's acidic, right? And I'm like, okay, I get it. So then
but that new AC,
it would have kept going.
The new ACs, nah, they won't last that long.
Mm-hmm. My in-law's AC is 42 years old, and he refuses to get rid of it. He's like, absolutely not.
The new one will never last 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty scary when you guys are getting that. But also, I guess you're getting invited to PKs from all these brands and trying to explain to you guys what this new product is. And I'm sure at the start of the conversation has government mandates associated with that.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. With technology, you think things would be getting smaller. They're getting bigger. Like, you get these 3-ton air conditioners, they're like the truck. I'm like, Prab, where are we gonna load this thing? We gotta get this thing delivered. That's how big these units are. These are like 20
units. What's the reasoning why they're getting bigger?
Efficiency. So they make the condenser coil, it's almost like a rad of a car. So the bigger the rad, the more surface area for it to get colder faster, to cool off the refrigerant, right? So the larger the condenser coil, the more efficient it could, less. You don't need a bigger horsepower motor. You can bring that condensing temperature down a lot faster. So they make it bigger to make it more efficient. So you're compensating size in someone's backyard or the side of the house just for a little bit of efficiency, right?
But you're running a business, and now you're still offering like warranties and serviceability. Yeah. And you got to factor in, oh, hang on a sec, this unit's going to fail. We can't give them what we standardized. We have to change this now.
And they're going to like aluminum too. Like, they're changing it from copper because aluminum's cheaper than copper, and the aluminum's almost impossible to fix. Like, we had one customer of ours that the condenser was like, what was it, $11,000 for one condenser? It's like, that's for one coil on a rooftop, and that coil had four slabs. So that's four. If they had a leak in one, it was $11,000 our cost. So you got $44,000 just in our cost. You might as well get a new rooftop. Like, you can... on an aluminum coil. So it's like, oh my God, it just doesn't make sense. Like, where they're going with technology on these new units, I don't understand their mental capacity on their engineering aspect of it. I know.
So what we do with the warranties is we either charge a lot more for an extended warranty because now we know it's going to fail, or we give a lot shorter of a warranty.
But then you get priced out and somebody else comes along and gives them what they want to hear.
Sure, but then that's their headache.
And honestly, maintenances are a big thing now. Like, it's, you have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Well,
I've watched plenty of HVAC companies grow their service side.
Yeah.
A lot faster than their actual new install side.
Yeah. So,
like, and I'm like, what's going on here? And this is exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Maintenances are huge. Like, if you get a proper company, do proper maintenances, you can get the longevity of your equipment. It's so important. People neglect maintenances. And that's like, as a business owner who owns rooftop equipment or refrigeration equipment, if you don't do maintenance, you're going to pay the price big time. Because that customer, all they needed is for Park McCandle to come in and say, hey, these coils are plugged, you need a power washing. They would have saved themselves thousands of dollars because they
neglected. Annual or biannual maintenance?
They should do quarterly.
Quarterly.
Yeah.
Well, you're, I agree.
Depending on and the facility. Right? Again, yeah, depending on the facility. Every facility is different. You some facility, you can go monthly. You can
depending on the usage of the unit, what it's serving.
Depends on the owner and the operator. Sometimes everyone doesn't want to foot the bill, right? Like, do you own the building?
But these units, though, have, like, Toronto has some of the highest maintenance fees associated with commercial buildings. These fees are supposed to be used for maintenance.
I don't think... If you're talking the condos, I don't think any of those are associated with mechanical maintenance, like HVAC.
Is it strictly aesthetic and structural?
Pretty much, unless you get to the big equipment that runs the whole building. Yes, 100%. But anybody who owns a condo, their own personal condo unit is their responsibility. Mm-hmm. The condo corp's not paying for that. They'll pay for, you know, a cooling tower or a chiller that serves the whole building, that serves, you know, the front entrance and those areas, right? But anything in your suite,
you're responsible for.
But we're talking more on the commercial aspect and industrial, like their equipment in a facility, like maintain it. Don't.
And you guys offer that, right?
Yes,
of course we do. So you guys go because you know that they're going to fail, right?
Yeah, and we try to save the customer money because things are going to fail. They're going to fail whether we service it or whether we don't service it. However, we want customer appreciation. Hey, look, do you know what? Our service bills for this year, since we did this maintenance package, we've noticed a substantial savings. You know, we're still going to get the business, whether it fails or whether it's maintenance, like we're still going to do an honest service. It's a matter of saving the customer our money, but we're going to, as long as we keep them happy, we're their HVAC contractor for indefinitely. You know what I mean? So the business is always going to be there. It's just a matter of, hey, let's try to save this customer money by doing a proper preventative maintenance and save them on the back end. That's it.
There's not a lot of trust. Like, even in some of these conversations, they're like...
There's a lot of suspicion.
Yeah, like, why do you guys got to come four times? Right? Yeah. Why can't you just come once? Oh, this other guy, they don't do any maintenance at their property. Like, how come you guys are suggesting this? So a lot of times when I'm speaking, whether it's a franchisee, whether it's a property manager, whether it's a building owner, they're always a little hesitant. Like,
well, they're hesitant about spending any kind of
money. Yeah, for sure.
They're not hesitant about collecting money. Like, yeah. I just, I'm trying to figure out, there was two questions I was going to ask you guys, but one, since I got you guys here, everybody's buying ice baths, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazon's going ballistic with it. And then, like, obviously we're in Canada here, so we get 5 months of cold and they can leave it outside and they can just break away at the ice. But then I was like, this is stupid. And then I started looking at refrigerators, the hamster wheel again, right? So I was like, there's got to be a product out there that someone's figured out is basically an ice bath that's refrigerated. It's there. I found it.
Okay.
It's $10,000. Okay. And I'm like, this can't be right. So you guys tell me. Sorry?
Culture. Like the bath, it's got a little unit and it just keeps it at a certain
Keeps the water temperature at a refrigerated temperature.
Yeah, the prices are coming down. You probably get one for like $6,000 or $7,000, but yeah.
I don't want to talk about that shit. I got professionals here. I want to talk about how I'm going to go to a metal fabricator and build a tub for a human person to sit in, and it has a drain. And I want to refrigerate that water.
Get a chest freezer.
Chilled loop.
Yeah. Get a chest freezer and you can, and I've seen them do it.
But you're filling it up with water and then you're just keeping it at a certain temperature.
Yeah.
So in the commercial world, what you're referring to is called a chiller. They're there. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a chiller loop.
Yeah. So they'll use chiller loops in big buildings or.
So it's a loop that's just around the shell of the.
Whatever you want it to be. We've worked in factories where they've got a vat of dough or eggs or whatever that they're cooking, and there's refrigeration lines running through it.
I've seen that.
Keeping it cooled down. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's there. But yeah.
So how much? ain't $10,000. You know, no. They put some pretty wood around it and all this, like shit like that. And I'm like going, no, man, this ain't right. Like, I have a funny feeling there's a way to make this with trades to, like, get it down to, like, $1,000 or $2,000 at the most, and you've got your own refrigerator.
Oh, for sure.
There's a way.
There's totally a way, right? Yeah. So you guys will tell me later on, like,
100%.
Yeah, what the mortar I need and all this other shit, and I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to be like, I'm not going to spend $10,000, right?
We'll get you down to three. Don't worry about it.
So that's the beauty of the skills that you guys have, where it's all transferable, and that's what people don't understand. You get into this industry, what you learn is going to spend the rest of your life.
Of course.
And family, friends, and other people that you trust and work with or hang out with, they're going to benefit from this knowledge being shared, right? So obviously you guys probably get a call if someone's home is falling apart or something like that. What did you do? What did you not do? When was the last time you changed a filter? Yeah, I got a few notifications on my Ecobee and I haven't changed it in 2 years. Oh, that's probably an issue right there. Yeah. Go take a look at it. Oh, it's all dust, right? So it's like these little things that you got to do that I agree with you. Pay attention to it. But here's the thing. Most people don't want to have these conversations. They don't care about the heart of the building. They just don't care.
It's back
until it breaks.
It's back to Mark's point. They don't see it. If they don't see it, half of the people don't even know it's there.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Well, if you don't own it, like I always look at the, like we're all car guys, right? And if you own your car, picked it and you picked out the color and you picked out the interior, like you're taking care of that. Most of the properties that we go to, they're not owned by the people that are in them. It's like this web of people that operate this building. And it all comes down to a spreadsheet. So it's like, how can I make the most money out of this vehicle, this investment vehicle? So the less money that I can pump into it, it's like, I just want to get all my money out of it before I kick it over to the next person, the next tenant, the next owner, whoever else has to, you know, foot the bill.
Bear the cost.
That's why we like certain clients that we work with, they own the facility, they own all the equipment, they're planning on being there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Those are the golden tickets, right? Because they want that relationship, they want to understand. Those are the guys that we really go and look for. The stuff that we got to go and bid on and all these tenders and stuff like that, they don't care who you are, what, you know, the quality of your work. It's like, what does it cost? That's all they care about.
The number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the one line item. Well, there's plenty of them that it's not about the number. It should never be about the number. That's just my opinion. But
we'd love for it to be that way.
No, that's not the case. You guys are fighting that battle all the time. Even before, like that's like you fight it all the time before these guys get on site to start installing. And I'm sure you probably still get razz from them going, I can't believe that's costing this much.
All the time.
Yeah, guys that are new to, we deal with a lot of people that are getting into business for the first time or the second time. You know, they came into a pile of money from whatever. And they're like, okay, I want to go and build this project. And we have to hold their hand sometimes and walk them through the process. It's like, you can't really blame them because they don't have any, because they're trying to do it with what they've got. They have no idea about working with an MEP consultant, you know, someone who's mechanical, electrical, plumbing. They can hold their hand, walk them through it, give them an idea. They have no clue. So we ended up doing that on that Montessori school.
All the time.
We ended up GCing the whole project because they wanted to GC it themselves. They had a mechanical engineer that was quite green. And we ended up having to do the whole thing twice. We're there having to resize ductwork and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that was.
But
that was, we loved that. That
we
was
loved. Fun. We learned a lot.
They didn't bring on a designer, an HVAC.
They had all of it. It just,
it was incorrect.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it.
They were repurposing a residential
dwelling
for a commercial purpose.
But that's the biggest mistake right there.
Yeah, but they're going through the proper channels. The city's saying, okay, sure, like, give us XYZ and you can do it. But in reality, like, this is how it's going to play out when you're actually running. And then there's commercial is not commercial. You can have a building, and if it's being used for children, there's all this additional stipulation, right? Yeah, so
completely.
It's a class A building.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to have a mechanical designer what's that's a class accustomed Z? To that.
Sorry?
What's a class Z building?
No, class A.
But what's a class E?
I don't know.
If we're so protective of the children and the facility that they're in,
what's
the one area that's not, right? I don't know. Like, what they don't care about.
Yeah, I know. It should be
stadiums and shit, restaurants.
No, like storage. Like
storage.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Like the last one that we went to in Scarborough, like it's just, they're like a moving company. And a couple rooftops and that's about it.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
Just conditioned air.
Yeah, exactly. So the use case will determine that.
Meet Felipe, the visionary behind Versa Homes, a name synonymous with excellence in construction across British Columbia. Felipe's passion for high-end craftsmanship, sparked by his mentor Dan Zecklin, drives him to deliver exceptional results in every project. At Versa Homes, every detail matters, and Felipe's unwavering commitment to precision ensures that each project meets the highest standards. Client satisfaction is more than just a goal, it's at the heart of everything Felipe does. He's dedicated to making the construction process smooth and stress-free, keeping projects on time, within budget, and meticulously organized. If you're looking for a builder in British Columbia who values quality and client care as much as you do, look no further. Discover what sets Versa Homes apart. Reach them at www.versahomes.com or call them today at 778-65-BUILD, B-U-I-L-D, or connect with them on social media under @VersaHomes. Versa Homes, where your vision meets their commitment to excellence. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So the use case will determine that.
How often do you guys get into the new structures that are being built and starting from scratch, and you guys are getting a lot, right?
Yeah, all the time.
How are the new structures? Because like we said earlier, I look at Toronto Skyline, and I don't think these buildings are going to last anywhere near what a lot of structures that we've seen way before last. Like, they're going to start to seriously fall apart on all levels, mechanically, structurally, all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm assuming, but you guys are going in there and seeing the guts, and then you're building out the systems there.
I can't speak for other trades. However, like, it's just, I don't like downtown Toronto. I just don't like the accessibility to certain equipment. Like, they put it in areas in the drawing where it's like, how are we going to service this thing?
Later on, they never later think on. That.
It's like, okay, no. We need a 16-foot ladder. They want this thing up in the air, all the heat run. And it's just like, we've done some stores, some build outs, and it's like, oh man, I don't even know if I want to take on these, you know what I mean, these clients afterwards. But we do, we'll make it work. But it's like, we got to let the customer know, okay, now you need to purchase a 16-foot ladder and keep it in the back. And a 16-foot ladder ain't cheap. Right? Because we're not going to have to go drive, rent a ladder, come all the way downtown, set it up, do it. Now you're paying $1,000 for one visit. It's not even, you paid the ladder already on one visit. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, there's things like that. I don't know about structurally, but like serviceability wise, it's tough. They're making...
This is all new construction.
Yeah,
they're making it more difficult for serviceability on HVAC maintenance.
Yes.
Even the cost to build anything nowadays, right? Like, how many times have we spoken with GCs and they're like, oh yeah, we just go with the cheapest price. And okay, that's fine. But when you go with the cheapest price, you're in turn getting the cheapest laborers and the cheapest product. So, you know, this concrete may not be as strong as that concrete. And I'm not in the concrete business, so I don't know, but I'm sure that's there, right? But if you're going for the cheapest price, you're going to get the cheapest stuff.
Yeah.
So things are just not going
to
last.
They still need to make money.
Of course.
Yeah. Even if it's a cheap money, they still need to make money.
They're still going to make it, yeah. And then they just, like Luke said, is they push the cost onto the next person.
Yeah.
Like things just won't last.
But that, like, I've made my peace with it. Everything's built to break, whether it's your car, your AC, or whatever the case is. Now, things are no longer built to last. They're built to break so that they keep the engine going, right? Like, I want you to come back to the dealership and buy a car in 8, 9, 10 years, whatever the case is. Is it crazy to think that that's what the case is over here? Hey, like, you know, we don't need a building to last, you know, 100 years. Maybe 25 years before we can come back in and redevelop it and everybody else gets paid again.
I'm not disagreeing with you, man. You know what I mean? I totally agree with you on that.
So I think
that's how I see the new construction happening today.
Yeah. Everything is built to make it through their warranty period, and then that's it.
Yeah. And then at that point, they'll figure it out. I don't know if
that's right or wrong, because from one hand, you can look at it. Hey, I'm looking out for the guy 10 years from now, making sure that he's got work to do. You know, I'm making sure that this building is going to have to be redeveloped in 15, 20 years, whatever the case is.
Yeah, but how green is that now?
There's your point. Exactly.
You can't be green for this week and not understand 10, 20 years down the line, you're being extremely not green.
Exactly.
By this, right? Like, I've told clients before, I go, you want to be green, don't build a house. That's as green as you're going to get. Stay in the house that you live in, accept it for the size that it is, and enjoy all the really cheesy wood paneling on the walls, and then just change the mechanical every so often. Yeah. That's the greenest you'll ever get. You want a new construction, you just created such a huge hole in the environment. But they don't want that. That's not everybody. It's always good until it's their front step. Then they start talking about that crap, right? Mm-hmm. What about all the old structures here? Like, I could only imagine when they did the ROM renovation, they started adding the crystal to it. Mm-hmm. That must have been a mechanical nightmare on how to figure that one out. Because the ROM would have been built with a whole boiler system. I don't think it ever got... It must have been upgraded with a forced air for AC purposes.
Some buildings, you can't even touch the structure at all.
We've got a property that we manage. It is a heritage-designated property downtown. And it's just this mishmash of equipment that you have to just try and...
If there's a hole there, you can use it. If there's not, you can't make one.
You can't make any new holes to run new lines.
Can't even mount a thermostat on a wall without an approval.
So what are you guys walking into, like mechanical room-wise? What does it look like?
A nightmare.
Yeah.
It's just a mixed match of a bunch of trades coming in there over the years.
Pretty much, yeah.
Solving a Band-Aid for that moment.
Yeah, and sometimes budgets aren't there for the current year because they go through the budgets.
Are never there. And that part's irritating. I don't want to knock anything, but these heritage buildings, they're typically government funded. There's some government dollars coming in there.
Of course.
So the smart thing to do would be to put in a piece of equipment today that's going to save you some money. Oh, but our budget doesn't allow for that. So can you just put these Band-Aid solutions on there until we qualify in 3 years from now? So you're spending all that money. And then in 3 years from now, we know that the equipment's going to be way more expensive then. So it's like you're paying for the job twice. This is our tax dollars, mm-hmm. right? Oh, because it doesn't qualify now, kick it down the road, double up your cost. That part was irritating when we were talking about it.
Yeah, and honestly, it just doesn't make any sense. But that's the government, right?
That's the government.
See, then this is all the stuff that we're talking about. It's like this is outside of just the trade itself. This is you navigating the waters of doing the actual task at hand.
And that's been the hardest part over the last year is realizing, hey, knowing how to do the work and turn the wrenches is just half the battle.
Yeah.
Running this business and again, who owns the property? Who's financing it? Like, who's the right guy to get in touch with? We're the most qualified. Why aren't we getting the work? Oh, okay. There's some relationship there. Like learning that whole process, how to even find where to submit a bid. Like, how do we get to these tendering sites? That's the difference between residential and commercial. I'd say they're both very much relationship based, but on the commercial side, there's a lot of T's and C's. There's a lot more paperwork. There's a lot more, you know, core certification and this and that. And it's like, makes your head spin.
But it is why commercial is more expensive. You can charge higher because the standards.
There's so much, yeah.
There's
yeah,
so much more, the standards, yeah. The licensing, all the fees that get associated with the business alone.
But the tendering list, don't they keep it short and tight on who's allowed?
You don't really know. Like, unless you know the GC.
Yeah, there's so many different variants, right? Like there will be a general contracting company who will be like, we'll take 10 bids.
Yeah.
And we just go with the cheapest. And it's like, okay, and then you'll have a general contracting company that say, hey, I'm only giving the work to these three guys.
But we need three other quotes.
Yeah, but we need three estimates. So, and hey, like they'll do relationship with all three companies because you never want to put all your eggs in one basket, right? So, you know, it's like, hey, Park Mechanical, you do this project, I'm going to get ABC Mechanical to do that one. But I trust the work. I know I'm going to have no headaches. It's going to be like, as soon as I pass this off to you, you'll give it back to me when it's ready to go. Those are the general contractors that we like because, you know, there's a trust, there's the relationship. It's not the, hey, I'm going to give it to the cheapest people. We don't play in the boat of the cheapest. That's not us. And we don't play
that. The one thing that I like about the commercial aspect of the trade is that's my new challenge is like once we get a new GC and we get their first job, once we do the work and we see the outcome and the GC sees the outcome, that's what I take pride in because he's like, now we're doing his next job, right? Because that to me is a success story right now in my career, right? Is to, before it was like learning, okay, now, oh, I fixed it. Like, yeah, cool. Like you're like looking at run. It's like, oh, you're so accomplished, right? Now it's more about getting a big customer and keeping a big customer happy and then finishing the project and he like a project, not just like a little service call, like a project and him like, oh, wow. Like I have this and this and this that I need you to quote for me ASAP. Perfect. Like that's where the accomplishment now of being, you know, a business owner, that's where that comes now. So those are my goals and aspirations. That's what ticks all my boxes.
And I think that's the evolution of us, you know, as like personal as well as on the business side of things is exactly like Mark was saying, is we did all that. You know, we worked for the companies, we did all the service calls, mm-hmm. we did all that stuff. Now we opened our own business, and now we're trying to grow our own business, make our own relationships. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the new, you know, mountains to climb. It's like, okay, I fixed 1,000 of these units. I'm no longer interested in that. Yeah. We still do it, but, you know, the goal is now this. And that's the hill we're climbing right now.
But you guys saw those relationships years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think this young generation coming in don't realize that all these small fishes that are maybe one man or two man shops, mm-hmm. they're going to be corporations one day.
100%.
And if you didn't leave a great impression, or if you didn't kind of nurture a relationship there, then you won't be considered later on. Like, I'm reconnecting with people right now from my past, like 20 plus years ago, that I still got along with really well back then. And we're talking about other ideas that we want to work on. And I'm like, I trust this person. We've kind of gone through the ropes through the years. I've seen what's been going on their side, my side. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, I want to work with you because relationships are so valuable.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's timing. Like, hey, do you know we have an HVAC guy? We're happy with them, but you're next to Ken. So, like, we've had some customers where it's like, do you know, we kind of had a fallout, or hey, he's retired, he doesn't want to do it anymore. Like, we're next in line, right? And everybody has sometimes their go-to person, right? And it's timing. Sometimes it's just timing.
And the thing with business, and even like anything you're doing, like even the minute you're doing it, you know, so. Mark goes to a service call, and yeah, he's working on that one piece of equipment. However, the company who owns this piece of equipment also has 100 buildings. And it's like, okay, yes, we're doing this one thing, but also at the same time, what's Park Mechanical going to be in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years?
Yep.
What's the 5-year plan? And then, hey, what's the 10-year plan?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's and I don't think the new generation approaches things with a certain mindset or a certain vision. It's just, it's very, and it's the, what's it called? The instant or the click thing? The
instant gratification.
The instant gratification. No,
that's what I was saying about the longevity.
Yeah, it's like, they're not thinking that big or that far. It's just what's right here and what's there.
Honestly, I don't think they should be thinking that far. To be honest, I don't think I was thinking that far.
You probably weren't, like subconsciously you weren't. But you were probably planting seeds that were leaning towards that.
I knew eventually that was an end goal, but I was kind of focusing on the trade aspects of the business. Like, I need to learn how to do this. I need to know how to. And that's why, like we spoke about earlier, moving different companies, because I want to know everything I could in a certain amount of time, because I want to be at that age, have all those capabilities to be able to say, hey, I can now do this myself. You know what I mean? So in essence, yes, you're right. Like, that's in the back of your mind. It should be in the back of your mind when you're a young stud growing into whatever field. You could be electrician, plumber, whatever it is. You have to have that mindset. And if you don't have that mindset, you're in the wrong career path.
I'm just curious about, what was the first big lesson you guys learned when you got out of the training, so to speak, the schooling part of it, and you officially got on a job site and a project? What was the one thing that you learned that you're like, oh shit, I didn't realize that this is what it's all about. Like, I should have known this, or I don't know.
I had one experience when I just became a journeyman. I was working in a factory. I'm not going to say the factory, but they were losing $100,000 per hour in materials, and their chiller was down, and the pressure was on. It's like, is what you make the big bucks for. Yeah. Come on, Mark. And the customer. Usually it's a residential customer over your shoulder. This time it was a commercial customer over my shoulder. He's like, is it ready? Pressure. Bro, I just got here.
It's the big pressure.
Pressure, pressure, pressure. It was injected moldings, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, and I'm just a new journeyman, right? I'm like, okay. So I got school in my mind. I got all the ammo in me. I'm like, yeah, I got this, right? So I'm going in there, troubleshooting. Okay, I fixed it. Got it up and running, and like, I think it was like, I don't know, 2.5 hours, and they had to send in private jets to fly out certain products to make their quota, because they're dealing with big customers too, and they don't want to lose certain contracts, right? So it's kind of like, okay, this trade is no joke, especially when you're dealing with like the big things. There's process chilling, there's emergency service calls, and then there's like comfort cooling, where it's like, okay, person has no cooling, it's like a luxury, not a necessity. But when you're dealing with food products and moldings and industrial, that's where it starts. Like, the levels can change, depends on the branch of the tree you want to take.
Did you ever figure out, or did somebody figure out the failure?
No, I figured out the failure. Yeah. So it was I think it was a high head pressure. It was running on pressure issues. So we had to tinker. I had to tinker with it. It wasn't a major issue, but it was a major issue to them. So it could have been a lot worse because there's times where, you know, we got big, massive freezers down and yeah, they got to call a food storage truck and you got to open up suppliers. That we did that not long ago at a banquet hall. We had a walk-in freezer down and we had to open up a supplier at 1 o'clock in the morning or else they're going to lose all their product. And that's thousands of dollars. So it's a trade that you got to be prepared to work at all hours of the day, you know what I mean? And it's intimidating too because their ice cream's melting, everything's melting, right? So there's pressure. There's, and with money, like money doesn't come without pressure. Like the more, it's not an easy trade. So you got to be built for it.
I think that there's like, I think I had a lot of like aha moments like over the years. So the thing with mechanical is like take your regular light switch. When you turn it off, the light goes off. When you turn it on, the light goes on. Times that by 1,000 for one rooftop unit. So instead of a switch, it's called a relay with 20 different wires. And the relay will send power to the motor and the motor will turn on and then whatever, the compressor will turn on, whatever it's trying to control. So I think a lot of the aha moments were like the service calls, like, okay, this is not working. Why? You pull out your meter, you're finding out, you're diagnosing the issue. And then I think once you start to get in a rhythm of figuring those things out and like on the service side, I think it's gratifying in a sense, right? Because it's like, okay, like there's a lot to take in. Like, so once you start like mechanical, once you start wrapping your head around it, it's a really good feeling. And I'm not taking away from any other, you know, trade or whatever anybody else does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, there's a lot of those moments where you do it and you're like, okay, great. But it's learning, it's building blocks. And then the next time you go to the next unit that's not working, you're like, okay, I did this on the last one, you know, could potentially be the same problem. But yeah, it's the trade is really good if you're passionate about it.
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind Aquastop Waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, Aquastop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and Aquastop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with Aquastop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
The trade is really good if you're passionate about it. Keep saying that.
At first, it's just a dog's breakfast. You're just like going,
oh, you have no clue.
It is.
You have no clue.
You have to dumb it down. Like even like our trade, there's a lot of it's electrical. So we have to know what electricians know, like learning how to read diagrams. Yeah. Like you just have to dissect it. You got this big panel. It's one big schematic. And it's like, oh my God, like what am I looking at? You literally have to just like tunnel vision it down, like pick it, dissect it apart. Then it's like, okay, it's not so bad. It's not so intimidating. Even like a big refrigeration unit, like it's the same thing as a small refrigeration unit. It's just, everything is just supersized. So you just got to literally just dumb it down. Like you can have this big compressed, this big unit, but meanwhile, it's the same thing as this little unit. It's just, everything is 10 times bigger and it's like intimidating, right?
But I'd just be standing there, dude. I'd be like, listen, I'll start with the chocolate ice cream if you want.
Yeah. The same thing with like a shed.
It's unload it, just put it in my truck.
It's like a framer, right? Like he'll build a shed and then you can build a house. It has four walls and a roof, right?
Same principles. But then it starts to become challenging when you start dealing with structure and engineering loss of life and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you guys have a hard job. And that's where I go back to. You have to think. Clearly think. And like you said, it's a good point. Just focus.
If let's look at your basic residential air conditioner. There's four components: compressor, there's a couple motors, and there's a metering device. Yeah. Okay, cool. we can get really technical. You know, the refrigerant leaves the compressor at a superheated vapor. It gets condensed into a liquid. And then you're looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. If this is just air conditioning. You can get as technical as you want, right? So, yeah, you better believe it. You're thinking. You better believe your brain better be working that day. So,
yeah. What's the downside of being an HVAC in this one trade?
To the 24-hour emergency service, get your ass up at 3 a.m.
That's the one. Stuff. That's the one.
It's harsh.
Yeah.
Especially in the dead of winter.
Or dead of summer. They both suck.
I've had a nice warm summer.
I've had frostbite on my hands several times. Yeah. I've gotten electrocuted like three times, 600 volts, 347 volts.
Ouch.
that's why she's on my arm. I got a guardian angel. Like, I shouldn't be around. You know what I mean? So it's tough,
but then you'll get hurt.
Yeah, and do you know what? And that's a big thing. You said it, because you get comfortable in the trade and it takes nothing. Like, even having this necklace on, like leaning over on an exhaust fan, it catches your, it gets caught.
Yeah.
Gone. You know what I mean? I've fallen. I've gotten electrocuted. I've gotten even belts over the fingers. Like, it's you get comfortable in whatever you do because you get good at it and you're like, you feel like you're a superhero, but it's just like a snap of a finger. There, you're gone, man.
I was having a conversation over the weekend with a seasoned GC and we were all talking, because I've known this since day one of construction, right? Tradespeople don't wear wedding rings.
Or jewelry.
Or jewelry, yeah. If they do, then you're not a tradesperson. Get the fuck off the site.
That's right.
Right? Because you're just asking for trouble, because that will snag. That will like put you in a bind that you don't want to be in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just set that shit apart, right? So
yeah, we've seen a lot of like friends in the business got seriously hurt, man.
Fingers missing.
Fingers.
Name it.
Fosgene gas. Like,
I mean, it's part of the industry. It's unfortunate. Even this week, there's been two collapses, you know, cave-ins where we saw that, right? I'm still trying to get some understanding. And I just don't like the media for always painting the negative picture right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my question, like the one that happened was like, it was almost 12 feet deep. It was a residential structure. And I was like, first of all, why are we digging? I want to know the answer why we're going 12. Like, what are we building here? I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. I can understand that there's no shoring there, right? And I know all about the new rules of shoring, but why are we digging 12? Like, there's a reason why we're digging 12. And unfortunately, there was a loss of life there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could happen in any industry, right? You can cross the road downtown, be a lawyer, and get hit by a car, right? Yeah. It's just so, but I mean, it's just, I don't like the spotlight on just being this negative. And then you get this younger generation going, I want nothing to do with that. That's just too dangerous. It's dangerous if you're not educated or you understand people that came before you are trying to explain something. So if they yell at you, they're yelling at you from their heart.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it. They're not yelling at you because they think you're a dick.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to just make sure that you save your life.
It's funny you say that, because there's a lot of like up and comers that are afraid of ladders or they're afraid of electrical. It's like, you really, really have to go back to really think about what you want to do.
Yeah. Is this afraid for of you?
A ladder? I don't understand.
Some people are afraid of heights.
Like a regular extension ladder?
Yeah,
or a
like
step
afraid
ladder?
Of heights. Like their knees are clapping. Yeah. You know what I mean? Going up a ladder. So it's like you really got to think back. Is this what you truly want? Some people just do it because, like you said, the money target. Like it can't be about the money, man. You gotta be able to.
The money's there. It's going to make a lot of money.
You can make money in whatever you excel at. Like you could be the best of whatever you want to do, and you can make good money in whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of knowing for sure that's what you want to do. You know what I mean?
Any last words to give to the kids before we get to the 12 questions that wants to get into HVAC? The rock and rollers of the industry? I would always say HVAC. I would say HVAC, electrical, then plumbing. Plumbers are going to fucking hate me for saying that.
If you look at the pay level, it's HVAC, mechanical.
Oh, I'm grouping it together. I'm
plumbers, then electricians. So like there's that
battle. I would agree with you on that. If you look at money, plumbers second, electricals third.
That's right.
But if the electrician gets into fire alarms or home automation, they become number two.
You guys are forgetting about elevator mechanics.
Elevator,
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
They almost start tickling number one now.
They're top dog. Do,
but they kind of own their own thing, right? Like, elevators are elevators. Nobody's even close, right, in what they do. But, like, you know, there's always that thing between electricians, plumbers, mechanical. There's always that.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be some ego attached to elevator techs, eh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what? I don't know many, to be honest with you.
We move people around.
Who knows an elevator tech?
I was just thinking
like,
that. Like,
I'd like to meet Otis one day. Like, I don't understand.
You know what? I met an elevator tech once, and he had like a 5-foot pipe wrench. And I'm like, where'd you get this thing from? And he's like, I need this. So I'm like, I don't want to do that. But yeah. You enjoy.
Really? That big?
Yeah.
What the hell is he cranking?
I have no clue. I don't know.
We got a 3-footer, and that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's a good trade to get into, everyone. But I think that it's the trade that you really need to just do your homework. Don't take the Cliff Notes YouTube school.
Mm-hmm. Please don't.
Get as much education as you can. Mentor, find people, volunteer your time. Like, work. Give up time for you to learn things. Yeah. And eventually you'll get to that level that all these other techs that have successfully built businesses or careers out of it. And it will come. It will eventually come. That's it. You're not wrong about that one kid, 22, making six figures. That's a fact of life there. Mm-hmm. That's just reality there. It smart kid, and they know exactly what they're doing. Then any kid that's listening right now can do that.
100%. Yeah. Easy.
Work hard.
Or you can go buy a bunch of cars and go on vacations and lattes every day and all that other crap, man.
Yeah, that's terrible. Who wants to do that?
www.parkmechanical.com, info@parkmechanical.com, and on IG under park_mechanical. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Sure. What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
That's a change order.
Yeah. For me,
I
hate those.
That's words. Probably mine.
Yeah, your payment has now come through. That's my favorite one.
Oh, no, Probs is, that's on our scope.
Yeah.
That's on our scope. That's on our scope.
Not our scope. Yeah, I don't
know. Mine's coffee break is over.
Least favorite tool.
Least favorite
Which tool. Which Milwaukee tool do you guys not like?
Oh, I like them all.
Yeah, I'm a Makita guy.
You're a Makita guy?
I'm a Makita guy.
You're in the wrong industry.
I know, I'm a Makita guy. Least favorite tool is anything without power. Forget the manual stuff. It's all about power. Yeah. Everything.
Sheet metal hammer. I'm sick of it.
I saw some video recently where like the guy hooked up a reciprocating saw to tin snips.
We have reciprocating
saw to tin snips.
No, no, he zip-tied it to the handle so then he could.
Oh, okay, I got you.
There's a tool for that.
Yeah, I know there's a tool for that, but he couldn't afford the tool, so then he took his reciprocating saw. Right?
Yeah, they're not cheap, actually.
Yeah.
Tin snips.
Tin snips.
Yeah.
Especially right or left, center. Heavy gauge stuff. How many different dexterity tin snips are there?
So we were at a construction site. And, we're at a construction site, and Mark's old school. So no matter what you're cutting, what you're doing, it's got to be manual. It's got to be manual. So we're cutting through this thick metal, And then I'm like, hey, I'm like, forget it. Get the goddamn grinder. Mark in the other room. No grinders. We're just like Luke's there, like,
and I'm the smallest out of these guys, and I'm just like reefing on this tin snip. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? Did you use a grinder? I'm like, yo, Mark's gonna scream at me if I use a grinder, bro. I gotta use these snips.
That's what I'm saying. Power everything.
Oh my god. You guys shared yours, right?
Yeah.
What do you guys miss from your childhood?
Nintendo 64, GoldenEye, Super Smash Bros, and Mario Kart. When you're in the same room playing with your friends. Not that, I'm going to jump online after my mom made me dinner. Like, no, we're playing in
the
same
room. How many kids know about Leroy Jenkins?
Who?
Leroy Jenkins.
Do you know about Leroy Jenkins?
It's ringing a bell.
Look at Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, no, that's ringing a bell.
Okay.
It's hilarious, man. Okay. This is years ago.
Yeah. It's a YouTube video, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I've seen this.
It's about the bunch of kids just planning their attack before they go in to start the game, and it's just like rambling on about the execution of the attack, and all of a sudden Leroy Jenkins he didn't want any of this shit, and he just said, Leroy Jenkins! And he just runs in, and everyone's just like, Leroy just went! And then they're freaking out, and then they all die. And he goes, Leroy, you're an asshole, man.
Mark, I'm gonna go with either competitive hockey or skateboarding. I used to love.
You know what I hate about the government? One more thing.
What is the government?
I really get a sickening face on my face when they put those stupid clips on anything to prevent skateboarders from doing what they do. And I'm like, you're taking skills away from future kids that might even be Olympians. You know what I mean? You're preventing kids from learning. Just because you don't want them fucking using these benches.
Yeah, man. We didn't have skate parks back in the day. We were waxing every brand new curb that was just friggin'
I have no problem with that, yeah, man. Yeah, like, yeah. I can't stand the. And then someone designed this clip, and I can only imagine what it's going
to
cost.
We just want to have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're just having fun.
You
we're
don't not hear, causing You don't anything. Hear hockey kids playing in the street anymore. You don't hear skateboarders anymore. You don't, no, you don't hear actually kids all that much on the streets anymore.
No.
That's right.
Like, it's just weird. So that's why. But what construction sound do you guys love? It ain't tin snips or grinder.
Mm-hmm. It's that home bell. It's that 4 p.m. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, everybody go home.
Yeah, I would agree with the home time. At the end of the day,
it's, job well done.
Yeah, well job done. Well yeah. done. Once that thing fires up, time to go.
That's on the construction side. Like, the new construction is structured. Like, 8 to 4, 7 to 3. That's it. Service, 24/7. But yeah.
What's yours, Lou?
I don't know. I like... You know when you're on a chop saw and there's like shing,
shing. It's just cutting like butter?
Yeah, yeah, like a fresh blade.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 That's a good one. Favorite beverage?
Non-alcoholic lemonade, alcoholic, old-fashioned.
Alcoholic, I'm going to say Crown and Coke. Non-alcoholic, I like an iced coffee. I'm a nice coffee kind of guy.
Me? Coffee. Just OG coffee.
Just coffee.
Yeah.
Just
I don't rock. Really drink, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis.
There you go.
Dos Equis is a good beer.
He's the coolest person in the world.
Dos Equis is a cool beer. I'd like this. Is he dead? No.
Is
he No. the most interesting man in the world.
I don't know.
Is he dead? Because I miss those ads, man. They were great.
Yeah, good question.
What turns you on and off in construction?
Turns you on and off.
What you said earlier, like...
I say a lot of things, I just don't remember them.
In this line of work, you get to go and see some pretty cool places that you never get to see. Like, you get to...
You get red carpet treatment brought right in because save our life.
You see stuff that you've driven by like 100 times and you walk in it like, yo, that's what's been in there this whole time? That's the coolest part.
You know what's funny? In the HVAC world, like, say we walk into a building like this and the AC's not working. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's so hot. What do we do? We go and fix it. And they're like, oh, thank God. Thank God for you guys. Like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm good. I'll take that.
For me, it's like I'm not always in one spot. I'm always from building to building. So to me, that's nice. You're not cooped up in an office. So that's nice. The off part is traffic. Trump Being bad. Stuck in traffic. Gross. That's the only downfall. But it's nice to be not in one spot.
You guys can get some HVAC bicycles and take the bike lane.
Some scooters. Yeah. Park mechanical
scooters.
Well,
we got the EVs, so that helps.
But now the cities, I've seen this all over now, they don't want the e-bikes or the e-skateboards, whatever they call those things.
Oh, yeah?
On sidewalks. They're telling them to get off the sidewalks now. Because everyone's using sidewalks. On those
Because they're probably ripping, going 30 kilometers an hour.
Favorite curse word?
I know yours.
Oh, no, go. What's yours?
No, I don't yours know. Is always... I fuck a son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch, bastard. Everybody knows that guy.
Yeah.
Mine's just straight up fuck. Who the fuck did this? What the fuck is that? Where the fuck's the lift? Mark, what the fuck happened here? Luke, what the fuck is going on? That's me. Yeah.
Probably got temper.
Probably's got the temper,
Do I swear a lot? No, I don't think
so.
No,
I don't you swear don't. Much.
What was yours, sorry?
No, mine was Mark's.
Yeah. Oh, Mark's the same one.
He caught.
Favorite vehicle in the world? Any mode of transportation?
I'm going to go with the Mercedes S-Class. I like my Benzes.
What, brand new one?
You know what? Everyone that's come out has been amazing, and then they just keep getting better. So eventually I'm going to buy one.
There was the one in the 2010 that had those slit taillights.
Yes.
With the little plastic color match in the middle.
Yeah.
I thought it was horrific.
Really?
I thought it was horrific.
I think the taillights on the new one is kind of trash. Like, they're these weird V's, and I'm like, okay. But
The front's nicer than the back.
Always. But I think, what other manufacturer did that? Bentley or Rolls? Where Rolls has this big, broad front, and the back of like these tiny little lights, and you're like,
oh, that's a Rolls.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell? Did they just fall asleep?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going with the Benz.
Me, I have a few, man.
Name them all.
A Venator SVJ, Ferrari 812 Super
Funky color,
fast.
You going like a classic color?
Nah, classic color. Ferrari 812 Super Fast, or I could be cruised around in an Uber Black. That's ideal, not having to drive, because we drive enough. So I don't mind being in a passenger seat.
Probably like a Lexus LC 500, that new Grand Coupe.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
That one's really nice. Yeah, yeah. Or like a Land Cruiser. I'm a Toyota guy.
Fair enough. What profession, guys, would you like to, sorry, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Barista.
A barista?
Yeah.
Like in a small little cafe shop, not a franchise.
Starbucks.
Like a Starbucks, really?
Just fuck up everybody's name for fun. What's your name? Shark? Yeah. What's your fucking name, Luke? Yeah, Puke. Yeah, okay. Manny? Yeah, fucking thank it.
Totally, man. The looks on their face alone would be worth it, man. Yeah. I get paid to do this.
For sure.
If like money was no...
Anything you want, other than your own.
I don't know. If I could just do, I'd probably be like a car detailer.
Can you do a pinstripe?
No pinstripe. That's before our time. We're young guys. Pinstriping.
They still do it on the rolls.
Oh yeah,
one guy. They
there's
fly
that guy.
They're flying around everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what happens when he dies.
Yeah,
he's got to have an apprentice.
Must.
Got to have an apprentice. Mm.
Yeah, detailing.
Car detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine would be, back in the day, I always wanted to be a teacher, phys ed teacher, health teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, we need phys ed teachers, period, in schools now.
Yeah, like I like the athletic
0%
part.
0% body fat. Yeah. Oh. We walked into the house one time, and it was Mark and I, and the guy looked at Mark, and Mark shredded. So Mark's like, oh, 0% body fat. And he looks at me like, oh, what happened? Like, he didn't say it, but I'm like, what happened?
I think Luke went on a diet dying. That day. He's like, okay,
that day I was like,
water, nowhere doing cutting out everything.
He totally forgot his AC wasn't working. He was just like zapped with Mark.
Holy cool. So good. What profession would you not like to do?
Plumber.
Plumber. Well, yeah. You do plumbing.
Yeah, I don't deal with the shit.
You don't do that.
No. It's a tough I'm not a huge water guy.
What would I not like to do?
Sanding. I would not want to be
drywall?
Yeah, drywall sanding.
Snorting coke? No?
Yeah, no. I mean, you ever see those guys like walk out of a construction site? It's just what happened to you?
That's a good one. No. That's definitely a good one.
When the apocalypse happened, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, probably concrete. Like concrete guys, like my hat. Take my hat off to him, totally, man. Like, oof. I'm convinced the old guys that are around, like even some of the road crews. Like, I think like the old guys, like that's their reward. Like, you do 20 years, concrete, and then you just get to stand with the stop sign.
So bad for your lung. Even painting, like smelling those fumes every
no,
day.
No, but concrete, especially the guys like the cutting and oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the older guys, like no mask, no nothing.
Yeah,
like,
nothing. Even roofers, just like
I don't know how they do it.
We've been on sites with roofers, and then like. They're like Leatherface, and they've been doing it for 40 years, and like they're inhaling the tar fumes, and they're just like, yeah. And it's just like,
there's some tough dudes, some tough trades, man. They don't get the respect that they deserve. It's crazy.
Then you get the Ministry of Labor coming on the job site trying to tell them what to do, eh?
Yeah. Never lifted a tool before.
My dude is older than you, man.
Yeah. Maybe health and safety coordinator. I would not want to be health and safety coordinator. Yeah.
The Kevlar showing on your toe. You need to replace those.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you guys like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Well done. Well done. Good job.
I'm making an exception by letting you in here.
Me? It's going to be the Bruce Buffer. I'm sorry, man. It's time. 15 to 35 years of refrigeration. And that'll be my Mr. Bruce.
Who's that?
Bruce Buffer, UFC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just trying to figure out.
Mark's impressions are to die for.
Bringing me in.
That's too funny. Yeah, so glad to meet you guys, man. Thank you so much for making the time. Thanks, you going back to the site right now? Or are you playing hooky the rest of the day?
What are going on today?
Phones are off and shit. Nobody's going to be able to get
I'm sure there's something on the phone coming
I'm sure
in.
As soon as we walk out of here, 10 missed calls on all of our phones.
Ding, 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 we'll figure it out. And plans change so quick.
That's it, man. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you. Come back anytime. We got more stories and shit.
Thank you for having
us. Bring back more of the crew, whatever.
Love the construction life. Thanks, Manny.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it, guys. That's it. We're done. Thanks, Angelina.